a series called Grow. And the whole point of this series is we believe that grow leads to overflow, right? We want to grow, and we believe that the abundant life is for us. We enjoy that. We enjoy that life with God. But it's not just for us, CA students. Jesus uses us, and he puts so much abundant life in us that it overflows out of us to the people around us. And so the people around us experience the abundant life of Jesus because of the way you've grown. You know what that means, CA students? This world needs you to grow in Christ. This world needs you to go deep with Christ, because that is the only way that the abundant life will come. It is so much fun preaching when you guys talk back. Let's go. Come on. That's right. Hey, 2 weeks ago, Heather taught us, and she taught us that we need to grow together. We need God, and he makes it happen. But then we need to do it in community. You need us if you want to grow. But the flip side of that same coin is we need you. You are part of our community. And when you are here, we are not the same. We need you here, CA students. Last week, we talked about how if you want to grow, you have responsibility in that process. Our choices shape us. And so it's up to us to choose Jesus. And it's not guilt about what you're not doing. This is about opportunity and power to choose the way that you can grow. Because when we choose Jesus, when we choose him and orient our lives around him, we grow towards him. That's what happens. Last week, we talked about being sunflowers, right? Talked about how my fiance, Kayla, is like a sunflower. Hey, come on. And we talked about how sunflowers do this thing called heliotropism. SAT, right? And so we taught what that means is that sunflowers, during the day, they turn to face the sun. The reason they do that is when they face the sun, they receive maximum sunlight. When they receive maximum sunlight, that induces maximum photosynthesis. When maximum photosynthesis is induced, what is produced is maximum growth. Come on. So what the sunflower knows is that if it wants to grow, it needs to face the sun. But hey, let's be honest about this illustration. That's all the sunflower can do, right? I'm going to be a sunflower. Little help here. Help a flower out. Hey, sun. That's all the flower does, right? It just looks at the sun, and it just receives the sunlight from the sun. And let's be real, people. The sunflower does not cause itself to grow. The sun causes the sunflower to grow. The sun provides the power that makes the growth happen in the sunflower, right? Without the sunflower can look up all day long, but it's not going to grow, y'all, right? It's just going to be looking up at the clouds, and that's not what we want. And so I want to talk specifically to anyone. If anyone left last week or maybe come back to church this week and you're discouraged because of something you heard last week, maybe what I really hope you didn't hear is that, oh, responsibility, I have responsibility in growth. That means it's all on me. That means that I have to do it or it's not going to happen. That means that I need to be good enough. That means I need to do more. And really quickly, we can become discouraged about our responsibility, right? Maybe you heard accusation instead of inspiration last week. And so, because the reality is, if we have responsibility in our growth process, that demands the question, what happens when we fail our growth goals? That demands the question, what happens when sometimes we prioritize other things instead of God, right? And so if anyone is experiencing any of that, any fear, any discouragement, any of that, listen to me read this verse to you right now. This is from Philippians 1. It says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." CA students, listen up. Growing you is God's work. And God is going to finish the job. Let's pray. Let's pray, CA students. Jesus, we thank you for being here with us tonight. We thank you that you are a God that is even more committed to our fullest abundant life than we are. Thank you for guiding us towards that. And so, God, I pray that as we open your word tonight and as we seek to know you better, God, would you reveal yourself to us? As we orient our lives towards you, would you make the growth happen? We love you and we trust you and we know you will. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. See, students, if you haven't already, go ahead and grab that orange handout from underneath your chair. There's a pen there. You can take some notes. You can write down some good stuff. Really quick, we're going to start off with the main point, y'all. You can fill out these blanks. The main point, what we're talking tonight. God is what makes you grow. God is what makes you grow. I want it to be very direct and very simple. You don't make you grow. Milk doesn't make you grow. Right? God is what makes you grow. Listen up, CA students. Our responsibility really matters. That's what we talked about last week. Our responsibility matters. Our choices matter. Our choices shape us. And when we choose God, we grow towards him. But hey, our responsibility matters, but God's faithfulness matters even more. Our responsibility matters, but God's faithfulness matters even more. We choose him, but all we can do is make ourselves available for his growth. This is what I want you to hear tonight, CA students. God is committed to your growth. God is committed to your growth. God is the one that's not giving up on you. There's this verse in 2 Corinthians. Paul is writing this verse, this letter to a church. And he's talking about how when Jesus saves us, it's like there is this veil between us and God that was blocking us from him. And when we were saved, Jesus came and he tore that veil. And now we can have access to God. So he's talking about that. And he says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him. I'll say that again. Makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. See, students, God is transforming you to look like himself. That is what is happening because of the Spirit living inside of you. And he's doing that for us because that's for our good, right? That's what's going to lead to the best life possible for us. But it's not just for us. He does it for the world around us too. Jesus' own words in John 15:5, he says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, if you stay with me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, students, this is the overflow that we're talking about. When he talks about bearing fruit, that is the result of your growth. That is the encouragement that comes out of you. That is the abundant life that comes out of you because there's so much. It's the abundant life, right? And in fact, God has been planning this for a long time. He's been planning for the way he's going to use you for your good and the world's good for a long time. In Ephesians 2:10, he says this, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. This is not an accident. This has been God's plan from all along to grow you so much that you overflow for the good of our world. And so if all of this is true, if God is really committed to our growth, then what does that mean for us? I think it means three things, and there's space for you to write it down on your handouts. The first thing, if God is what makes you grow, then you can't earn growth. You can write that down. You can't earn growth. Growth is not earnable. Check it out, CA students. God is making growth happen, not you. God is making it happen, not you. If you were here last week, you heard that we need to choose growth. We need to choose actions that are going to cause us to grow in God. Our choices matter. Our responsibility matters. We have responsibility, which means the ability to choose God and to grow in him, right? But what that can turn into is a mindset that says, if I want to grow, I need to make that happen. It can turn into, I need to work harder. I need to do more. I need to be good enough. And the reason that that mindset is dangerous is because it can lead into thinking, well, God wants me to grow. So if I want to make God happy, if I want to do what God wants, then I need to work harder. To make God approve of me, I need to do more. To make God love me, I need to be good enough. And very quickly, you can become trapped in the opposite of the gospel. That's what can happen. Instead of receiving God's righteousness and favor through Jesus freely, we convince ourselves to thinking, I need to earn it again. CA students, let's be careful. Don't let taking personal responsibility of your growth mutate into salvation by works, right? You're never going to be able to earn your growth. You're never going to be able to do it. People have tried for many years. You're not going to be able to earn your growth. And that may sound discouraging, but let me tell you the good news. You don't need to earn your growth. You can't earn your growth, and you don't need to, because God is providing it for you freely. Here's the thing. God is so excited about growing you, and he can do it way better than you ever could, right? Let me read this to you from Philippians 1. Again, it says, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by myself. No, by my pastor. No, by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. CA students, who's doing the growing? Jesus Christ. That's right. Is it you? No. Is it your parents? No. Is it your pastor? No. It's Jesus Christ. who is doing the growing in your life. You are involved in the growth process. That's what we talked about last week. You turn yourself, you make yourself available to God. But God is the one running the process. See, students, you are involved, but you are not making it happen. God is the one that is making it happen. And so if God is truly committed to our growth, we can't earn it, but we also don't need to. And if God is committed to our growth, this is the second thing. You can write this down. Our failure and our inadequacy does not disqualify us. Our failure and inadequacy does not disqualify us. It's a lot of four-syllable words. I'll give you guys a second to write. Oh, it's actually 2 and 5 and 4. Write that down. Write that down, y'all. Our failure and inadequacy do not disqualify us. Here's the thing, CA students. If you're anything like me, you can hear a talk like we heard last week, and you're like, oh, I can choose God, I can set goals, and I'm going to grow in God. Well, I'm not going to set a goal. I'm going to set goals, right? Like, you, if you're like me, you get like a little too fired up. You're like, you want me to read my Bible? I'm going to read my Bible every day for an hour. You want me to pray? I'm going to pray every day for an hour. You know, and like I set all these goals that I can't do, right? And so you get really excited. And let me tell you, maybe you set a more realistic goal. You're like, I'm going to read my Bible every day for 15 minutes. And that's a good, awesome, measurable, attainable, time-bound goal, right? Here's the thing, that works for a while. But then the first time you miss your goal, the first time you miss the time of reading the Bible, the first time you miss praying, first time you miss coming to program, what that does is that devastates us on the inside, because we don't just think, oh, I failed a personal goal. What you internalize is, oh, I failed God, right? And if we internalize that failure, what we can do is we can convince ourselves that we are not able to grow. Maybe some other holy person gets straight A's, really like attractive, maybe that kind of person can set a goal and grow, but I'm not going to be able to because I failed, right? But here's the thing. What you might be ignoring is that if you never messed up, you would already be perfect and you wouldn't need to grow. If you have failed, you are exactly who God wants to grow. If you're exactly who God wants to use. You know what God does throughout the entire story of scriptures? He picks losers. He picks losers. He picks fakers and failures the whole time. That's what he does. And you know why he does that, CA students? It's not because they're able. He picks people that are unable, because when he does that and then God succeeds, it's obviously not because of that person's ability. What God does is he takes that person and he succeeds and he says, look how great I am. Look how able I am to take an inadequate person and make them enough. Look how able I am to take a failure and make it a success story. That's the kind of God we serve. That's who our God is. And what that means for us is that God still picks us, despite and maybe even because of our failures and our inadequacies. See, students, it's because we're not done growing yet. There's this story in the Gospels where Jesus is preaching. I'm sure his disciples are shouting him down. Hey, right? So Jesus is preaching for a long time. His disciples are there, and he's preaching to like 5,000 plus people, huge crowd, right? And he's preaching a long time. He's going too long. It's getting late in the day, right? And so his disciples are like, hey, Jesus, man, you're killing it. Keep rolling. Hey, you know, I see you, Son of God. Like, but they come up to him. They're like, look, Jesus, it's getting late. Let's send these people away so they can go get some food for themselves, and then we'll reconvene tomorrow. And Jesus is like, oh, no, it's fine. I got a plan. You guys feed them. And his disciples are like, they do the Bethany nervous laugh. And they're like, what are you talking about, Jesus? There's like 5,000 plus people. And so they go, like, we got to find some food. And so they go and they come up to Jesus and they have this like Lunchable, right? They're like, well, Jesus, we found two fish and 5 loaves of bread. Will this be enough? But you know what happens, CA students? Jesus takes what they have and he grows it until it's enough. Jesus takes what they have and he grows it until it's enough. Jesus takes that Lunchable and he multiplies it and feeds 5,000 plus people, not just hors d'oeuvres people. He feeds them till they're full and then he gathers the leftovers with a Lunchable. Jesus took what they had and he grew it until it was enough. You know what that means for us, CA students? God can take what you have and make it enough. But I don't read my Bible consistently. God can take what you have and make it enough. But I don't pray regularly. God can take what you have and make it enough. But I'm not brave enough to invite my friends to program. God can take what you have and make it enough, CA students. That's the kind of God that we serve. CA students, the story isn't over yet. If you're not where you want to be, great. God wants to grow you. That's not reason for discouragement. That's reason for encouragement because of how good our God is. CA students, that's who our God is. He's the one that says, it doesn't matter how broken you are. It doesn't matter how much of a failure you are. It doesn't matter how not enough you are. Just give me what you have, and I will grow it and make it enough. And so if you guys are ever discouraged, if you're ever broken, like, oh, I failed my goal again. I did this again, whatever. You know what? You know what all that's required of you is to come to our God. That's all that's required of you. You don't need to be good enough. You don't need to do something. You just bring your failures. You bring your incompleteness. That's what our God wants. That's what our God is going to use, CA students. There's this verse also in Philippians. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. What that means is he makes you want to grow, and then he makes you able to grow. God makes you want to grow, and then he makes you able to grow. CA students, this is the good news of who our God is. He's doing the work. We participate, right? So, if God is truly committed to our growth, we can't earn growth, but we also don't have to. And our failures and inadequacy do not disqualify us. And so here's the last thing. If God is committed to our growth, then we're not talking about hype. We're talking about hope. We're not talking about hype. We're talking about hope. Go ahead and write that down. We're not talking about hype. We're talking about hope. Aiden, if you want to come up, we're going to wrap up soon. Here's the thing. Some of you might think right now that those two words are the same thing, right? Hype and hope, same thing. They're both just basically about getting really excited about something that hasn't happened yet. But I would like to suggest to you that they're very different things. What I would say is that hype can let you down, but hope is not going to let you down. Here's the thing. Has anyone ever been on the hype train for something that didn't pan out? Yeah, me too. I have too. That train was called the Los Angeles Rams. So here's the thing. About a year and a half ago, I hear for sure that the Rams are moving back to LA. And I'm like, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord does provide. There is a football team in Los Angeles. Here I am. I am drawing a line in the sand. I am a Rams fan. Thank you very much. Here we go. It is blue and gold all the way, baby. Let's go. And I'm like, we're going to be the best. We're never going to lose, which is totally wrong. Their last season was terrible. It's like, we're not going to lose. It's going to be great. And so then we're like, oh, first game's up, San Francisco 49ers. It's Jake's team. They're not good. We can beat them. We go. You know what happens? They shut us out, 28-0. And you know what? I was like, that's all right. That's one down. We got a whole season. We're going to come back. You know what happened? We won, and then we won again, and then we won again. We were 3-1. I was like, 75%. That's passing, y'all. Right? Like, here we go. Like, the Rams are on their way. You know what happened the rest of the season? We went 1-11. We won one more game, and we lost 11 games. That's called hype letting you down, y'all. Don't believe in the Rams. Although now they're just playing with my heart because they just came and like stomped on the Colts. And my heart's like, you're getting going? I'm like, don't do this to me, Rams. That's hype, y'all. That's hype. But hope is different. Right. Bo preached a few weeks ago in Fusion, and he said, hope is confidently believing in something that you have good reason to believe in. Right. Hope is confidently believing in something that you have good reason to believe in. Let me read this passage from Romans. Romans 5, 2 through 5 says this. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Listen to this. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Let me tell you, CA students, we have a hope because of the way our God loves. If hope is a confident belief in something you have good reason to confidently believe in, then I have a hope in my God, CA students. I have a hope in who my God is. My hope is not in my own ability, my own willpower, my own track record. Those things have let me down and they will let me down. My hope is in the unchanging power and love of my God. My God is unchanging, so I can hope for the future. My God is powerful, so he is able to change me. My God is loving, so I know he is going to use that power for me. See, hey, students, my hope is in the character, the unchanging character of an almighty God. That's something you can have good reason to believe in, CA students. Our hope is anchored in something immovable. And that's why it's not going to let us down. I'm not talking about the Rams, y'all. Don't hope in the Rams. Don't hope in the Rams. That's not going to work for you. I tried, right? I'm talking about our God that's not changing, that loves us, and is powerful enough to do something about it. So this begs the question, so what do we do now, right? If it's true that we don't earn growth, we can't earn growth and we don't have to, if our failures and our inadequacy don't disqualify us, if we're not talking about hype, but we're talking about hope, so what do we do now? And what I would tell you is do all the things I told you to do last week, right? We still have responsibility in our growth process. We still need to try. But what I'm telling you tonight, CA students, is I want you to trust even more than you try. I want you to try your best, but I want you to trust even more. Right? We need to pray, and we need to pray hard. God, as I set this goal, would you empower me to be able to accomplish it? But even if we fail, we are not discouraged, because I'm talking about assurance here. Something that is not shakable is our God's commitment to your growth. And so I realize that there could be two kinds of people in the room tonight. And especially from last week, we talked so much about how we have responsibility and a role to play in our growth process. So if you take that to heart, and if you take that to an extreme, what that turns into is perfectionism, right? You're like, oh, if I want to grow, then I got to do it, and I got to be perfect, and I got to do more, and I got to be enough. And you're stressed out and worried about how God feels about you. So that's one extreme. But the other extreme is if you heard tonight, like, oh, God's got it? God's got it. I'm just going to chill, right? Like, I'm not going to do anything. Like, God's going to make it happen. We tight, you know, like, and just totally not doing anything about growing. But that switches from perfectionism to being passive, right? And that's also not where we want to be, CA students. We want to be right in the middle. We want to trust and try, right? Over here is just trying. Over here is just trusting. We trust and we try. Because we have a role to play, but that role is secured for us by our God. And he is going to take it to completion. We trust and we try. I'm not talking about license. You can live your life any way that you want. I'm talking about assurance that as we try, our God is going to make it enough. So CA students, because God is committed to our growth, what that means for us is we can't earn it, but we also don't have to. It means that our failures and our inadequacies do not disqualify us. And it means that we're not talking about hype, we're talking about hope that can't be shaken, that's rooted and anchored in something immovable. And so as we close, let me read this verse to you one more time. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. See, students, growing you is God's work, and he's the one that's going to finish it. Aiden's going to lead us in a few songs right now, and as he does, there are going to be leaders around the room. And the whole reason we do that is we want to give you guys a space to talk to leaders. If you want to celebrate something, if you want to cry about something, if you want to pray about something, that's what they're there for. But I want to specifically call you guys to something. If you really identify as either like, man, I'm a perfectionist, I'm trying and I have trouble trusting, then I want you to talk and pray with the leader. Maybe you're on the other side like, man, I'm really passive. I trust God too much and I don't even try. Right, and I know I need to start trying because I have responsibility in this process. If you're either one of those people, a perfectionist, or you're someone who's passive, I want you guys to go talk to a leader and pray about that tonight.